This is the Negeri Sembilan SPM mock listening test. There are four parts to the test. You will hear each part twice. For each part of the test, there will be time for you to look through the questions and time for you to check your answers. Write your answers on the question paper. You will have 6 minutes at the end of the test to copy your answers onto the answer sheet. The recording will now be stopped. Please ask any questions now because you must not speak during the test. Now open your question paper and look at part 1. Part 1. Questions 1 to 7. You will hear people talking in 7 different situations. For questions 1 to 7, you should choose the correct answer A, B or C. You will hear each recording twice. You now have 30 seconds to look through part 1. Now, we are ready to start. Listen carefully. Question 1. You will hear a text message.
Dear friends, Port Dickson District is currently experiencing a shellfish neurotoxic poisoning outbreak. Some patients came to the Port Dickson Hospital being in critical conditions. Therefore, please do not consume any shellfish, mussels, clams, scallops, oysters or cockles now. The Health Ministry is still investigating the extent of the outbreak, especially at restaurants. Until further notice is given, everyone is advised to take extra precautions in their eating habits.
Now listen again.
Dear friends, Port Dickson District is currently experiencing a shellfish neurotoxic poisoning outbreak. Some patients came to the Port Dickson Hospital being in critical conditions. Therefore, please do not consume any shellfish, mussels, clams, scallops, oysters or cockles now. The Health Ministry is still investigating the extent of the outbreak, especially at restaurants. Until further notice is given, everyone is advised to take extra precautions in their eating habits.
Question 2. You will hear a conversation between 2 people.
I wish you are not leaving so soon. Time really flies.
It's okay, G. I know you will survive. You are a strong woman.
True, Marie, but things will never be the same anymore.
Don't worry. There'll be many people assisting you. You'll get used to it.
Still, I will miss your presence in school. We have been together for 3 decades in school.
Now listen again.
I wish you are not leaving so soon. Time really flies.
It's okay, G. I know you will survive. You are a strong woman.
True, Marie, but things will never be the same anymore.
Don't worry. There'll be many people assisting you. You'll get used to it.
Still, I will miss your presence in school. We have been together for 3 decades in school.
Question 3. You will hear an advertisement. Namaste. I am teaching Hindi classes online. If you're planning to go to India and would like to talk to vendors in Hindi while shopping, or if you want to go on a pilgrimage tour and want to understand some of the language, then just email me at ushamadamg@traveler.com. You can learn basic speaking in 4 to 5 weeks. Now listen again. Namaste. I am teaching Hindi classes online. If you're planning to go to India and would like to talk to vendors in Hindi while shopping, or if you want to go on a pilgrimage tour and want to understand some of the language, then just email me at ushamadamg@traveler.com. You can learn basic speaking in 4 to 5 weeks. Question 4. You will hear two friends talking.
I have to eat bread for the next 1 or 2 months.
Oh no, Hannah, what happened?
I spent too much on souvenirs when I went to Japan last week. I just couldn't decide what to buy.
Oh dear, now I feel bad for requesting that hand-painted fan. Here, let's share lunch. In fact, I'll bring you lunch every day.
Now listen again.
I have to eat bread for the next 1 or 2 months.
Oh no, Hannah, what happened?
I spent too much on souvenirs when I went to Japan last week. I just couldn't decide what to buy.
Oh dear, now I feel bad for requesting that hand-painted fan. Here, let's share lunch. In fact, I'll bring you lunch every day.
Question 5. You will hear part of a radio program.
Why not try ecotourism? This type of tourism is holidaying in an eco, green and environmentally friendly way. Responsible tourism is considering the wider impact your trip could have on the country you are visiting. Your choice to travel responsibly can help protect the landscape, boost the local economy, and provide funding for new and innovative projects.
Now listen again.
Why not try ecotourism? This type of tourism is holidaying in an eco, green and environmentally friendly way. Responsible tourism is considering the wider impact your trip could have on the country you are visiting. Your choice to travel responsibly can help protect the landscape, boost the local economy, and provide funding for new and innovative projects.
Question 6. You will hear a news report.
7 locations across Negeri Sembilan will experience temporary water supply disruption on June 5th, forcing to carry out maintenance and replacement work. The affected areas are Sarimbun, Sendayan, Rasa, Port Dickson, Ranto, Linggi and Silio. Sains said in a statement on Monday, water tankers will be mobilized to the affected areas, prioritizing critical premises such as hospitals, clinics, dialysis centers and burial grounds.
Now listen again.
7 locations across Negeri Sembilan will experience temporary water supply disruption on June 5th, forcing to carry out maintenance and replacement work. The affected areas are Sarimbun, Sendayan, Rasa, Port Dickson, Ranto, Linggi and Silio. Sains said in a statement on Monday, water tankers will be mobilized to the affected areas, prioritizing critical premises such as hospitals, clinics, dialysis centers and burial grounds.
Question 7. You will hear a food advertisement.
Delight in indispensable local Chinese cuisine, featuring famed Chef Wang's best recipes. Only 30 sets per day. The chicken rice has all the essentials prepared suitably, with the core components remain deliciously familiar for fans of chicken rice. Daily from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. at the cost of ₩88 per set, one gets to savor the succulent poached chicken, paired perfectly with tangy ginger garlic chili sauce and a generous dollop of mashed ginger for an extra zing.
Now listen Again.
Delight in indispensable local Chinese cuisine, featuring famed Chef Wang's best recipes. Only 30 sets per day. The chicken rice has all the essentials prepared suitably, with the core components remain deliciously familiar for fans of chicken rice. Daily from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. at the cost of ₩88 per set, one gets to savor the succulent poached chicken, paired perfectly with tangy ginger garlic chili sauce and a generous dollop of mashed ginger for an extra zing.
That is the end of part one. Now turn to part two. Part two. Questions 8 to 15. You will hear a recording on blogging. For questions 8 to 15, circle the correct answer A, B, or C. You will hear the recording twice. Answer all the questions. You now have 1 minute to look at part two.
Most people have heard of blogging, but a lot of people don't really understand it. There is a whole older generation who doesn't know anything about blogging and vlogging, although one doesn't have to be a tech freak to understand them. However, for my generation and young people, in general, blogging and vlogging have become very much a part of our lives. Blogging refers to writing, photography, and other media that are self-published online through a website. A vlog, on the other hand, consists of video content published on any topic. Vlogs became popular in the early 2000s when digital video cameras became more affordable and also because of YouTube. There is a big difference between bloggers and vloggers. Bloggers use words to share their thoughts on a particular topic, whereas vloggers record themselves talking about a particular topic. Bloggers often use photos and videos to enhance their posts, while vloggers usually just talk into the camera. Although vlogs have become increasingly popular in recent years, I am more attracted to blogging as I find writing gives me a sense of satisfaction and fulfillment. Blogging is extremely important in business. A good blogger can advertise their business in a way that impresses people. They can write about what they do or make and answer questions from people who may then become a customer. When people are looking to buy something new, especially if it is connected to technology and gadgets, they often need to decide the right thing to buy. Moreover, some people become successful writers through blogging. These days, more and more writers start off as bloggers. Magazines and newspapers read blogs and often invite the writers to write stories or articles, which they will then be paid for. Also, many bloggers have ended up writing books that have been very successful. Serious blogging can allow people to become known as an expert in a particular subject, and this can even lead to getting a good or better job. Blogging can be used to help people too. Every good blog helps its readers. It might give advice about money, or how to be healthier, or even be a way to raise money. What is always important is that bloggers are honest and at the same time sensitive, and that blogs are not used for manipulation or to hurt people in any way.
Now listen again.
Most people have heard of blogging, but a lot of people don't really understand it. There is a whole older generation who doesn't know anything about blogging and vlogging, although one doesn't have to be a tech freak to understand them. However, for my generation and young people, in general, blogging and vlogging have become very much a part of our lives. Blogging refers to writing, photography, and other media that are self-published online through a website. A vlog, on the other hand, consists of video content published on any topic. Vlogs became popular in the early 2000s when digital video cameras became more affordable and also because of YouTube. There is a big difference between bloggers and vloggers. Bloggers use words to share their thoughts on a particular topic, whereas vloggers record themselves talking about a particular topic. Bloggers often use photos and videos to enhance their posts, while vloggers usually just talk into the camera. Although vlogs have become increasingly popular in recent years, I am more attracted to blogging as I find writing gives me a sense of satisfaction and fulfillment. Blogging is extremely important in business. A good blogger can advertise their business in a way that impresses people. They can write about what they do or make and answer questions from people who may then become a customer. When people are looking to buy something new, especially if it is connected to technology and gadgets, they often need to decide the right thing to buy. Moreover, some people become successful writers through blogging. These days, more and more writers start off as bloggers. Magazines and newspapers read blogs and often invite the writers to write stories or articles, which they will then be paid for. Also, many bloggers have ended up writing books that have been very successful. Serious blogging can allow people to become known as an expert in a particular subject, and this can even lead to getting a good or better job. Blogging can be used to help people too. Every good blog helps its readers. It might give advice about money, or how to be healthier, or even be a way to raise money. What is always important is that bloggers are honest and at the same time sensitive, and that blogs are not used for manipulation or to hurt people in any way.
That is the end of part 2. Now, turn to part 3. Part 3. Questions 16 to 20. You will hear 5 short extracts in which we learn about different breeds of cats. For questions 16 to 20, choose from the list A to G what each speaker says. Use the letters only once. There are 2 extra letters which you do not need to use. You will hear the recording twice. Answer all questions. You now have 30 seconds to look at part 3. Speaker 1.
The British Shorthairs are easily recognizable based on their thick legs, broad chest, large head, round eyes, and chubby cheeks. These cats are friendly, independent, and easygoing companions. They require moderate activities. Their fur is short and dense. The most popular color for this breed is grayish blue.
Now listen again.
The British Shorthairs are easily recognizable based on their thick legs, broad chest, large head, round eyes, and chubby cheeks. These cats are friendly, independent and easygoing companions. They require moderate activities. Their fur is short and dense. The most popular color for this breed is grayish blue.
Speaker 2.
The largest of all cat breeds, the muscular Maine Coon is a gentle giant, which is comfortable among children and other pets. Maine Coons are sociable, friendly, intelligent and playful. It is a highly active cat and enjoys playing outdoors.
Now listen again.
The largest of all cat breeds, the muscular Maine Coon is a gentle giant, which is comfortable among children and other pets. Maine Coons are sociable, friendly, intelligent and playful. It is a highly active cat and enjoys playing outdoors.
Speaker 3.
My cat stands out for its large size and sparkling large blue eyes. The ragdolls are docile, easygoing, and affectionate. Ragdolls are also intelligent, able to live in a family, and learn quickly. The cat also has a light-colored body and a darker face, ears, and tail.
Now listen again.
My cat stands out for its large size and sparkling large blue eyes. The ragdolls are docile, easygoing, and affectionate. Ragdolls are also intelligent, able to live in a family and learn quickly. The cat also has a light-colored body and a darker face, ears, and tail.
Speaker 4.
My cat is a munchkin. Munchkins are small, medium-sized cats characterized by their short legs. The legs are generally 3 inches shorter than normal cats. They are playful, friendly, and independent. They are also full of energy and curious about their environment.
Now listen again.
My cat is a munchkin. Munchkins are small, medium-sized cats characterized by their short legs. The legs are generally 3 inches shorter than normal cats. They are playful, friendly, and independent. They are also full of energy and curious about their environment.
Speaker 5.
Siamese cats are popular as they are distinguished by their contrasting fur and deep, vivid blue, almond-shaped eyes. My cat also has large triangular ears, which are pointy at the tip. My cat is fond of humans and disapproves of being left alone for long periods of time.
Now listen again.
Siamese cats are popular as they are distinguished by their contrasting fur and deep, vivid blue, almond-shaped eyes. My cat also has large triangular ears, which are pointy at the tip. My cat is fond of humans and disapproves of being left alone for long periods of time.
That is the end of part 3. Now turn to part 4. Part 4. Questions 21 to 30. You will hear a conversation between Dina, a counselor, and Amy, a podcaster. For questions 21 to 30, fill in the missing information in each numbered space. Use no more than one word for each space. You will hear the interview twice. Answer all the questions. You now have 1 minute to look at part 4.
Hi everyone, welcome to our weekly podcast. Today we have a popular counselor who is in constant demand for her guidance, especially for better study habits. Welcome to our show, Miss Dina.
Thank you, Amy. It's a real pleasure to be on your show, especially since I've been looking forward to reaching a larger audience with major exams starting soon. I've also been receiving many requests for talks on exam preparation.
Definitely a busy time for you then. Which brings us to my first question. How can students hope to revise as many topics and subjects to ensure they can cover as much as they can before their exams?
There are many opinions out there, but I personally find group study the best if done properly, especially if it is just mere months before an exam. We are talking 2 to 3 months before an exam, but the last week I would switch courses again.
Interesting. Can you please elaborate further?
Well, usually by 2 to 3 months before the exam, most schools are either on the last leg of completing their syllabus or would have already completed their syllabus. By right, all students should be able to have mastered certain topics well enough that they can help others understand topics better too. The idea is to find friends who you can study with and who may have certain strong areas as well. To make things easier, each person could take 1 or 2 topics that they are most comfortable with and be in charge of helping their friends cover that particular topic.
Oh, not by subject? Do you mean to say that this would not be feasible if we don't just get into groups and master a particular subject and then divide the work?
That is another option. But I am talking about short-term study groups first. SPM is just 2 months away after all. For short-term study groups, it is better to work on one particular subject for each study group session. So, your study group is meeting for an hour or two. Before meeting up, you should decide on the subject you want to study and the topics you want to discuss. Divide your work equally before the meetup and become a specialist in your topic. If you have any doubts on the topic you are assigned, try to meet your teacher and ask for clarification before your study session.
Oh wow, that does sound more systematic. Can a group be any number?
Oh yes, those subject-based study groups are good too. But these groups work well if students do it as a whole class, depending on the number of students. 2 to 3 students can take on 1 subject, but this method is for early on in the year. For group studies, it does also depend on the number of hours you are having a session for. For a maximum of a 2-hour session, you can have as many as 4 to 6 people in a group. Though as the exam comes nearer, you may opt for shorter sessions. Basically, give each topic you learn about 15 minutes.
That just answered my next question of time. Any other tips?
Yes, as you near your exam date, do topical questions. This is so you can identify the parts you are unsure of. At this point, meet your teachers, as your questions may derail your friends and make them anxious. On the eve of your exams, say a prayer each night before you sleep. And to ease your mind, go through your notes right before you sleep. And of course, it goes without saying, get a proper night's sleep, at least 7 hours worth.
Thank you so much, Miss Dina, and I hope we can have you again soon to share more tips with our anxious listeners.
Now listen again.
Hi everyone, welcome to our weekly podcast. Today we have a popular counselor who is in constant demand for her guidance, especially for better study habits. Welcome to our show, Miss Dina.
Thank you, Amy. It's a real pleasure to be on your show, especially since I've been looking forward to reaching a larger audience with major exams starting soon. I've also been receiving many requests for talks on exam preparation.
Definitely a busy time for you then. Which brings us to my first question. How can students hope to revise as many topics and subjects to ensure they can cover as much as they can before their exams?
There are many opinions out there, but I personally find group study the best if done properly, especially if it is just mere months before an exam. We are talking 2 to 3 months before an exam, but the last week I would switch courses again.
Interesting. Can you please elaborate further?
Well, usually by 2 to 3 months before the exam, most schools are either on the last leg of completing their syllabus or would have already completed their syllabus. By right, all students should be able to have mastered certain topics well enough that they can help others understand topics better too. The idea is to find friends who you can study with and who may have certain strong areas as well. To make things easier, each person could take 1 or 2 topics that they are most comfortable with and be in charge of helping their friends cover that particular topic.
Oh, not by subject? Do you mean to say that this would not be feasible if we don't just get into groups and master a particular subject and then divide the work?
That is another option, but I am talking about short-term study groups first. SPM is just 2 months away after all. For short-term study groups, it is better to work on one particular subject for each study group session. So, your study group is meeting for an hour or two. Before meeting up, you should decide on the subject you want to study and the topics you want to discuss. Divide your work equally before the meetup and become a specialist in your topic. If you have any doubts on the topic you are assigned, try to meet your teacher and ask for clarification before your study session.
Oh wow, that does sound more systematic. Can a group be any number?
Oh yes, those subject-based study groups are good too, but these groups work well if students do it as a whole class, depending on the number of students. 2 to 3 students can take on one subject, but this method is for early on in the year. For group studies, it does also depend on the number of hours you are having a session for. For a maximum of a 2-hour session, you can have as many as 4 to 6 people in a group. Though as the exam comes nearer, you may opt for shorter sessions. Basically, give each topic you learn about 15 minutes.
That just answered my next question of time. Any other tips?
Yes, as you near your exam date, do topical questions. This is so you can identify the parts you are unsure of. At this point, meet your teachers, as your questions may derail your friends and make them anxious. On the eve of your exams, say a prayer each night before you sleep. And to ease your mind, go through your notes right before you sleep. And of course, it goes without saying, get a proper night's sleep, at least 7 hours worth.
Thank you so much, Miss Dina. And I hope we can have you again soon to share more tips with our anxious listeners.
That is the end of part 4. You now have 6 minutes to check and copy your answers onto the answer sheet.
You have 1 more minute. That is the end of the test. Please stop now.